world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
And you know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. I'm dusting off my shirt here that Betty gave me. It says Coach. And Coach. I want to coach a little bit today, if it's okay. And appreciate you all joining. That'd be a good question, really, to ask ourselves this. It's really the main question that we're going to... I'm baiting here a little bit. Why do you go to church? Why? Don't answer. I'm planting a seed here. Why do you go to church? And believe it or not, I'm not anti-church. I'm for the church. But I'm just asking this question. Why do you go to the tire shop? Why do you go to McDonald's? Why do you go to Walmart? Why do you go to the beach? Well, we all know that you go to each one of those places for a specific reason. Lord, let the words of our lips, the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight, in Jesus' name. Why do you go to church? I think if we really, really dug deep and asked ourselves that question individually or even collectively, it might really, really reveal to us maybe why we're not real good at moving the ball forward. And you know that we call this show Coach Dave Live. It's just when I started Coach Dave Live, the late Terry Ladrick, a buddy of mine who passed, made that logo for me. So it became Coach Dave Live. But believe it or not, I often say the show's about what I think because it's Coach Dave Live. I'm the host, I own it, I'm the boss. I really don't want it to be about me. I really don't. I mean, I don't need the attention and the reinforcement and the pat on the back and everybody telling me how great I am. I'm a coach. I'm a coach. And so that's what I try to do. I just happened to put down up here and found it just this morning before I got gone. Spencer, I'm sorry. Folks, bear with stream of consciousness here. Pull up how it says trained in righteousness. Let me whittle this down here a second, okay? No, that's not it. No. Did I just send it to you or not? 2 Timothy? Yeah, 2 Timothy. There you go. Hang on. I'm not a very good coach if our players don't know how to play. In fact, in the sports world, it will cost you your job. Now, I want you to think with me a second. If a guy is a good enough coach that he becomes the head coach of the Cleveland Browns or the Ohio State Buckeyes, that guy knows how to coach. He knows football inside and out. He knows how to coach. Why does he lose his job? Why are some guys better at it than others? Why are some guys better coaches? Well, we know this in college and pro. You become a good coach if you got good players. A lot of people got good players, but they ain't getting any coaching. Can I say this? That'd be you guys. A lot of really good players in here. Nobody's ever coached you. No, they never coached you. They told you to go to church, come into church and pay your tithes, and say hi to everybody, shake hands on the way in, and Maybe you'll know two or three people. Maybe you'll know four people. And then I'll see you next week. And I don't know about you, but I one time mentioned to a pastor that I thought maybe I was going to start a little home group. And the pastor said, "Don't you do that. You need a group. You don't need to lead one." Well, my pastor, that's what he said. And I said, "If I don't know how to lead, if I don't know how to lead a group, then whose fault is that, Pastor?" Because the job of a coach is to replicate himself. Now listen, not make you me, but the skills set that I have is my skill set, but Betty also has one. And Dale has one. And Gene has a skill set. The thing that we have not done a good job of in American Christianity, number one, we've not helped people identify their skill. We would call it gift, what their gift is. And number two, how to use it. And number three, sadly, the great coaches recognize gifts and they get the ball to the guys who can do something with it. And if I were to ask you right now, what's your gift? Most of you don't know. Can I just camp here a second? Sure, I can. Hang here a second. This know also. In other words, there's some other stuff we ought to know. We ought to know this also. This isn't it. That in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, for whatever reason, we've made that doctrine. Perilous times shall come. Right? We've made that doctrine. Do you think we're in perilous times? I think we are. I think probably life has been perilous for hundreds of years, right? But see, here's how you know. Well, look. What I'm going to show you right now is not evidence of perilous times. It's the nature of the unregenerated heart of man. Why? The unregenerated, unsaved man is the lover of his own self. He's covetous. Unsaved men now. Pardon me. Sometimes saved men. They love themselves. They're covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Oh, I could go there. That doesn't just mean homosex. That means not having relationships with your family. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Folks, these are not signs of the end times. These are why the end times are going to come. This is what men are without Christ. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Do you understand what I'm saying here? See, and we've taken this scripture and we've made this an end time scripture. It's not an end time scripture. Just know this, in the last days, perilous times are coming. Why? Because that's the way men are. It's men. Scroll on down, Spencer. Lovers of pleasure more than love, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Some such turn away. You know, my sweet little wife said to me last night, "We need to be out in the streets more." If I were to ask the average Christian, ask the average you right now, when's the last time you publicly witnessed for Jesus Christ? When's the last time? I'm not trying to make you feel bad. When's the last time that where you go to church, the pastor exhorted you to publicly witness for Jesus Christ? Or, Betty, if you stand out with a sign, does it embarrass the church? It embarrasses the church that you're standing out there with a sign, right? For denying the power thereof, turn away from these kind, because this is the kind that creep into houses and lead captive silly women. They give them a form of godliness, right? They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. But Spencer, that's not where I'm going. Going down a little bit. Oh, boy. Keep going. I think it's 15. But evil men and deceivers shall wax worse and worse. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Let me ask you something. church where you go or did go or whatever, are you being instructed in righteousness? What does that even mean? To be instructed in righteousness. Evidently, we have to be taught that. Evidently. And if we're not instructed in righteousness, all doctrine is given as profitable doctrine, reproof, correction. And the world will tell you that's being judgmental. Reproof and correction, being judgmental. Be furnished unto all good works. And whoever told you that we as Christians aren't supposed to be doing good works lied to you. They really, really lied to you. Now, I'm gonna walk away from, not walk away, I'm going to veer off here a second. If you ask me what I'm most proud of about Coach Dave Live, and we've been here, this is show number, what is it, Spencer? How many numbers is this one? I always write it down. Hang on. what show number is this, Spencer? God, wake up, huh? 2,598. That's a lot, man. And a lot of you have been here for the whole time, and some of you come and go, and that's okay too. But you know what I'm most proud of? I'm proud of the way some of you are playing. Stop a minute. Does your pastor know how you're playing? Is he even interested in how you're playing? Or is he more interested in how he's playing? And my job as a coach is not to play, but is to train us in righteousness so we can play. We're supposed to play. And I can run down a litany. I can just run down. I can't tell you, as I look here, I'm not trying to make anybody feel good or anybody feel bad. I cannot believe the growth in Betty Perkins in the time that she's been at Coach State Live. She is a brand new Christian. Now look, hey, I'm not patting myself on the back, nothing. It's fruit, folks. It's fruit. Hang on, let me go over here a second. I'm scrolling down through here. Oh my goodness, how much bold Claudine Burnham has become because she's been in here. Oh my goodness, Dave and Sherry Allison. Are you kidding me? Huh? How bold Gene Schroeder's. I'm reading names. Glenn Claremont. How bold Glenn Claremont has becoming. Jack, come on. Huh? Jeff Nares, Jeff Klein, are you kidding me? What? They're actually playing? I could go more. There's a bunch more. When I start going down through, Mel, are you kidding me? Liberty Mel, are you kidding me? What? Boldness of Mike Blake? I'm just scrolling down through here. Just screwing. Randy, are you kidding me? Randy Lunsford, Ray LeBlanc. Hey, folks, not patting myself on the back. But there's fruit at Coach Dave Live. There's fruit.
Boom.
Now, why is there fruit? Why is there fruit here? By the way, some people don't like the fruit. Oh, Steve Deck, there's some fruit. Trent, there's some fruit. If you went to church on Sunday and your pastor said, I've got $1,000 to anybody who can show me some fruit, how many of you would walk out with $1,000? The Bible says you shall know them by their fruit. Now, truth is, Angie Ryan, there's some fruit. Now, a lot of people don't like that flavor of fruit. It's too bitter, it's too... whatever, they don't like that fruit. But they can't deny it. They can't deny the fruit. And so I'm here to encourage you, try to encourage you again here today. Stir up that gift that's within you, man. What are you waiting for? What are we waiting for? We're ambassadors. We're representative of the kingdom. And we're not trained and righteousness. Okay. I kind of got that. I got some really good stuff here. But I'm going to pause because I just felt an unction that maybe somebody wanted to come in and tell us a story, but not their life story. Anybody got something they want to say right now? Let me look up here. Hands up here. Yeah, go ahead, Martin. Tell us your story, not your life story.
Coach, you do a great job motivating people. And I want to thank you personally. We've had
That's my job.
Yeah, we've had some button heads, haven't we, brother?
Yeah, it's okay.
And guess what? Here I am still supporting this man. You know why? Because I see fruit. And the number one that I've seen out of this group, because she has actually taken me into her home off the cuff, wasn't planning on it, is Betty Perkins. And I've asked Betty, you know, the difference between before Coach Dave Live and now. And she said, it's Coach Dave Live. She goes, he motivated me to get out and get off my butt and go.
What a coach is supposed to do, isn't it? You know what a coach is supposed to do?
That's exactly what coaches do. You get us up off the bench, okay, which is a church, which is all padded with our hot coffee. And you say, you know what, put the coffee down and go out there and do what you was just taught in the church. I want to say this. I was on the radio yesterday on Truth Talk Live. It comes on at 4 p.m. here in Xenia, Dayton, Ohio. And anyway, if you go to the website, they're truthtalklive.com. I don't remember where it is, but I can post it if you want. You'll hear live on the air where this voice was, you know, talking about Jesus. And another guy from Dayton says, I want Busman to disciple me. Well, that's what I do. I get the privilege and the honor of discipling Victoria as she's going through the loss of Shane and some other people, even in this group, small ones. And I just want to say thanks, Coach, for saying, you know what, Martin?
Every Hall of Fame football player in history had a coach. Yeah,
that's exactly
every
right.
One had a coach. And, who's coaching you?
They who's will say, you know what? Thanks, Coach, you know, Smith or Coach Robertson or whoever that main influencer was in that man's life. Dave Dobemeyer, you've got, I don't know how many's in here right now, and please come in if you're watching on the air. You know, he's got a setup on CoachDaveLive.com where you can actually join this group as well, and you can be the next Betty Perkins. You know, Amen. You can be the next Ray LeBlanc. Because this guy's
next, kind of let me move on. Thanks, Martin. Let me move on. Mary Kelly, come on in, Mary, quickly. Yep. Come on. Tell us your story, not your life story. Hey, look, hang on. This is not a pat Dave on the back day, okay? I appreciate it. I'm trying to show you folks that this ministry that we have here is strong because you got involved. It's not strong because something I did. I motivated you or plugged you in where nobody had ever plugged you in before, and now you're thriving. Do you get it? You understand it? This Coach Dave Live thing's bigger than just a morning talk show. Who did I say? Somebody come on in. Who did I say? Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach,
you said Mary Kelly.
I said Mary Kelly, but she didn't speak up. Where's Mary Kelly? Melly, oh. Mary, you want to come in? Get in line. You're next. Jeff, go.
Coach, you know, the average churchgoer, when you're talking about this and training up for righteousness and this and that, I think most of them think as long as you see somebody somewhere and you say one of two things, God bless you, I'll pray for you, and they just walk away. And that's not everybody, but right. The majority, they think, hey, I've done my part.
Amen. We don't, because what, can I tell you why? We're not trained in righteousness. We just read it. We're not trained in righteousness, folks. And most of us, the best evangelistic outreach we will do is, come on now, invite somebody to our church. Why do we want to invite them to our church? Because we can't do the job ourselves, we think. Right? Somebody invites me to a church, kind of turns me off, be honest with you. Just be honest with you. Pull up, go ahead, Betty. Get number 9 ready.
I was going to say 2 Timothy 4:2-5, preach the word. I have to look down and it was right there.
Amen. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Reprove, that means correct. Rebuke means that's the discipline and exhort. What? Hey, you're wrong. Do it this way. Come on, you can do it this way. Now go get them. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Hey, dude, you're messing. You're not being effective. You're not going to do it. And listen, you won't listen. Okay? I'm trying to help you, and you won't listen. And you'll be a lot better if you listen to what I tell you to do. Now go get them. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Those three go hand in hand. Hand in hand. Now hang on. 8 key leadership roles. Pull that down. Go down halfway. I want to ask yourself this. Have you been trained in this? Keep on going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Oh, is that it? No, go down. Keep going. See if it isn't there. There you are. Keep going. 8 types of leadership roles. Now, whoever told you that you only have one gift, somebody's been lying to you. Right? Because as a member of the body of Christ filled with the Holy Spirit of God, God can work through you in any situation. You could be in a situation where you look around you and all of a sudden you realize, golly, it looks like I know more about what's going on than anybody here. And that's why when they tell us that they got gifts, they want to plug in. They want to plug in and make you just this. 8 types of leadership roles. I'm going to go down this through quickly. Because look, this ain't about me. This is about you. Each one, reach one. You have a coaching tree. A higher Brett talks about a coaching tree. You know what a coaching tree is? Coaching tree is the tree that you originally were connected to. You are a branch of it. And whoever that trunk was, you grew and you began to give life. And you went off and you grew and you got bigger, and then, but you're part of that coaching tree. You came off the same tree. And every one of us have an obligation to build us a coaching tree. Stay there, Dave Allison. I'll be right with you. A coaching tree. And Brett comes in and says that all the time. Betty Perkins is on my coaching tree. Dave Allison's on my coaching tree. I mean, I own them. But if you trace it back, Betty was just a chestnut that fell off of a tree, wasn't she? She just fell off of a tree. So there's 8 types of leaders. Or an apple, yeah. Hang on. Give me a couple more minutes. I'm going to go here. Listen, great manager. Number one's a manager. Great managers are great leaders. Gary Pierce is a manager. He was a manager. Great managers are great leaders. Manager oversees daily operations to refine and optimize processes, systems. Mel is a manager. You guys see this? Do you see this? And all of us can operate as part of the body, but at some point, you may have to be all of these. So there's a manager, then there's a coach. This is a critical leadership role that involves guiding individuals or teams to reach their full potential. Let me ask you this. Who are you coaching? Who are you coaching? Because I can promise you this. You know a lot more than the average person because you've been in here every day. Right? So you can be go back to the first one. I'm sorry, my brain went dead. Scroll down, Spent. There. You can be a manager, you can be a coach, or you can be an influencer. Hey, an influencer isn't a coach. An influencer isn't a coach. Effective leadership involves constantly influencing others in a positive way. Some of you are just influencers, and that's your job. You're not a leader. You're not a coach. You're an influencer. Some of you are innovators. Dave Allison's an innovator. He says, "Hey, coach, let's try to do it this way, coach. And, you know that hasn't always worked for me. Let's try." He's an innovator. That's a leadership skill, folks. It's a leadership skill. I could just go on and on. Because can I tell you something? See, I see these giftings. I see these giftings in y'all. I see them. But nobody else has ever pointed it out, right? Nobody's ever pointed it out. Betty, anybody in your whole time in church, anybody in church ever tell you what your gift was?
No.
Strategist. Oh, man. Strategist is one of the vital leadership roles responsible for the growth of any organization. Man, a man without a plan is at the mercy of a man with a plan. I'm going to say it again, one over your head. Man with a plan, man without a plan is at the mercy of the man with a plan. Hey, you want to know why the devil's winning? He got him a plan, doesn't he? You want to know why the left is winning? They got him a plan, don't they? The left is clearly far more organized than the American church. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Somebody give me a thumbs up. The left is clearly far more organized and united than God's people.
Boom.
Number six is a communicator. I'm not bragging. I'm an unbelievable communicator. Am I not, Betty? Am I a pretty good communicator? Right? That's a gifting, folks. It's a gifting. Somebody gives me a gift, I should be humble, not proud. It's a gift. But what's the purpose of my gift? To exhort the saints for the works of the ministry. I'm a pretty good communicator. I can sit here and talk for an hour and 20 minutes. And a good one will be a motivator. Skill sets, folks. Motivator. Motivating aspiring team members is crucial for leadership. And look, hey. We'll know if you're a good leader. Very simple question. Very simple solution. Look around and see who's following. If there ain't nobody following, you ain't leading. And better ask yourself this, self-determination, or sometimes I'll call Chad or Chad will call me and I'll say, I don't get it, man. What's going on? What's going on? And Chad will say, well, here's why. Because, you know, I sit here and I speak to all of you. I don't know how you receive it. I don't know if you took it the way I meant it. With me? And then I'm about done there. Is a delegator. Delegator. Coach Norm, I don't know if Coach Norm's out there. My dear buddy, Coach Norm. I'm telling you what, I delegated so much stuff to Coach E. And not only did I delegate it to him, he would recognize it. He said, Coach, I'll take care of that. Let me take care of that. Steve Deck says, Coach, I'll take care of that. Let me put that together. I'll do that, Coach. And people don't even realize that that's a gift. It's a gift. And a lot of you are sitting in your churches waiting for somebody to put you in the game. Maybe you got to go up and ask if he can play. I went to a church right after I got to, right after I went through the whole thing with the ACLU. I went to a church and I was there for a while. And I'm telling you, the pastor did not see my leadership abilities. He was threatened by them. Huh? Yeah, threatened by them. Because where there's no vision, the people perish. And unfortunately, and this is a good lesson in life. I'm coming, Dave, hang on. I'm coming right to you. Huh? Where there's no vision. Folks, if you are working with somebody that has a different vision, that's called die vision, get rid of them. Get rid of them. One vision, not die vision. We see that so much in organized Christianity. The pastor's got some place he wants to take the church and where the people want to go, maybe. So they leave and he can't figure out why. Can I tell you why? Because he didn't employ those seven gifts beside him. Pull those back up there, Spence. If you're a leader, you better have beside you, I'm coaching you here, you better have beside you somebody can manage. And if I'm the coach, then I'm the coach, but I need a manager and I need influencers. If we're going to advance this cause, we need innovators. Coach, that isn't working. Let me tell you why that isn't working. And then you need a strategist. That's why we had coaches' meetings. Coach would look, this play a work, coach, but we gotta do this. And then you gotta be a communicator, because your vision is no good if you can't explain it to somebody else. And then you gotta be a motivator, say, okay, now where are you missing it here? Come on, let's get in the game. How can I help you? Delegate, I'm gonna shut up. Because I'm most proud of those 8 things that are being developed in you. Now, each one teach one. You got to find somebody else. And why? For their good. Train them in righteousness. Help them become everything the Lord wants them to be. If you go to church to serve the pastor, man, you're already hooked. Dave Allison, come on in, Dave.
Good morning, Coach. Thanks so much. Coach, the word that immediately came to me when you started speaking was the word transformation.
Mm.
So when you started the year out each year with your team, you knew that you had a little bit of time to transform them into the football team.
Boom. Amen.
And you had to instill within them, the day they took the field, they were going to win the game.
Amen.
They had to believe in themselves. So Coach is kind of like the movie, The Bad News Bears, right? Coach took a bunch of ragtag bunch of people and made a winning team out of them. Mm. The last thing I think of transformation, the kids had these toys. They looked like an old beat up Chevrolet. But you pushed a button and they turned into a mighty warrior. And that's kind of what we were, Coach. We were beat down, but you pushed a button and helped us turn into what God wants us to be, mighty warriors.
Amen. Amen. And Dave, can I take pride in the fact that we motivated you to do what the Lord's called you to do? Hell, that's my job, isn't it? Isn't that my job? Why do you think you're something special because you've been given leadership skills and you use them and then people follow? What? It ought to humble you. It humbles me to think that I have that skill set to motivate people and how easy it is to use that in the wrong way.
And I hate to tell you that. One last thing, Coach. And Sherry might sometimes she asks, well, Dave, what's my part in this? Yep. Well, she's like Michelle. She plays an important role because I know she always has my back.
She is the lifter of your arms, isn't she, Dave?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you this. My beautiful wife, who I love more than I can't even tell you how much, when she gets up in the morning, from the time she puts her feet on the floor, her life is about others. Cleaning, washing dishes, babysitting, running in minutes, getting on the phone, praying with people from the time she puts her feet on the ground. Now, is she famous? That woman's more powerful than me. Angie.
Good morning. Well, she's truly your helpmate, Dave, that's for sure. She is your yin to your yang, right? She keeps you grounded and keeps you moving. We're so thankful for Michelle. And also for this group, I see so many leadership qualities in so many people that motivate myself and motivate me to keep going, right? Motivate me to keep, you know, this last year we've had such a horrible year at the Ryan House. It's been a roller coaster, you know, the death of my father, the death of one of my cousins, my husband got cancer, but my son got married and now we're having our first grandbaby. So
awesome.
You know, I know, isn't it wonderful? But God is good, but it's just been such a roller coaster. But I'll tell you, you know, I don't always get to get in here in the mornings. There's so much going on and stuff. But when I know when I do jump in, I can just be so spiritually motivated and encouraged and fulfilled that I just love this group. And I just thank the Lord for you and for Michelle and for this whole team. Mm. And when we were talking about the qualities of a leadership, Dave, you were talking about how the left show up and how they are so organized and how they do it. And it is because they show up. You have to show up. You can't sit at your house and hope this guy is going to, you know, take care of everything. That's you right. have to be involved. You've got to get out and you have to go. And I've always been a doer and a goer. And I, you know, I've lived a blessed life because of that. But you have to show up. If you are not there to push back on the enemy's forces, then you're a worthless soldier. You have to be at the front lines and you have to get in the trenches and you have to keep moving. Yeah. And that's really what we're called to do. We're supposed to go, not sit at home. We're supposed to go. So whatever your talent is, because God has given you a gift and he's given you a talent. If you don't know what that is, keep praying until you figure it out. But you have to use that talent to bless others and to build the kingdom and to be a light and to push back darkness. And so I just, again, just want to encourage everybody. I want to thank everybody. And I just want you to know that I still love this team out there. Take care.
Thanks, Angie. See, here's the truth. Thanks, Angie. Here's the truth. Folks, every one of you that are watching this right now, you have influence or I don't. Every one of you. Every one of you have influence where I don't. And I have influence where you don't. But for God's sake, walk out your gift and your calling, wherever it is. Don't worry about what others are going to think or others are going to say. Do you have the Holy Spirit inside you? Bible says, whatever he says unto you, do it. Are you obedient? And the Lord tells you to do something. Do you do it or not? You say, why would I do that? Why? Well, doesn't matter why. He asked you to do it. Holy Spirit prompted you to do it. Will you do it? You just, see, you are responsible for obedience. God's responsible for results. I'll say it again. You're responsible for obedience. God's responsible for results. And here's the truth. There's a difference between a spiritual role and spiritual gifts. That's an amen on my phone. Spiritual. See, a pastor is a spiritual role. The Bible teaches us, modern American Christianity tries to teach us that those are gifts, and they are to a degree. But Betty Perkins will never admit this, but Betty Perkins is a pastor. Has a gift of a pastor. So what? Did you start a Bible study, Betty? Did you start a Bible study in your home? What? See, she had a gift, but not necessarily the role. She may not be the pastor, but she's the organizer of the church. Anybody understand what I'm saying here? There's a difference between your role and your gift. When's the last time anybody ever said to you, daggone, are you ever good at that? Gary Pierce drives me crazy with his organizational skills. Thank God for Gary Pierce. Gary can't be me, and I can't be him. But because of his gift, a role might open. But if you're looking for a role and it ain't your gift, you're in trouble. If you're looking to be boss when you ain't ready to be boss, learn to exercise your gift. The Bible says your gift will make way for you. Sadly, some of you don't even know what your gift is. Adam.
Hey, Coach. I just wanted to encourage you and encourage everybody else in the show this morning, because everything that everybody said is 100% true. But you're also creating the fruit of a unified body. Because I can tell you something over here in Northeast Pennsylvania where I live. I've walked inside many churches and you can barely get somebody to shake your hand and say hello to you. And yet the year and a half I've been part of your show, part of this huddle, I've met so many people. I spoke to Dave Allison for the first time yesterday. I had Dr. Paul on the show yesterday. I've become friends with Randy and so many other people on your show, Mel. So many people on your show.
You ready, Marge?
So you are literally creating a unified family of God, and that actually
it's the way it's supposed to function, isn't it, Adam? And this is the way it's supposed to function. I can't do everything, but you mean Mel can do that? Well, let's plug her in, huh? Adam can do that? Well, let's plug him in. When's the last time you go to church and they plug you in to do something?
Almost never, Coach. And so that's fruit that's going to be lasting too. So I'll shut up now. Thank you, Coach.
Hey, Adam, if I die tomorrow, you'll continue on. If I die tomorrow, Betty will continue on. It's fruit that abides. If I die tomorrow, Dave Allison will continue on. I just promise, right? If I die, I'm not going to die tomorrow, but you understand what I'm saying? It ain't about me. It ain't about me. Jack, Angie, your hand's still up. If you want to come back in, just hang on. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, well, there's a balance here. And as you're speaking, I'm thinking about this. You know, often our strengths and our abilities are also our Achilles heel, because we don't have somebody higher looking at us and going, wait a minute, this is the wrong timing for that. That's a good idea, but that's the wrong timing. That's what you're doing, Coach. And the way we do things, we got all kinds of doers, but we need to be coordinated because we can get ahead of it and in our enthusiasm and all that. The other side, they have no individual strengths, which is why they win so many times, because they're all following the agenda of one person or one ideology. So they just muddle along. And go here, protest. We don't want to protest, but we're going to show up, see? So we got to balance, and that's why the coach, the top, says, wait, don't do that. Do that next week. In the meantime, we'll set this up. That's what you do.
That's what I try to do. That's what I try to do. Bring up number – thanks, Jack. Bring up number 6. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves. And then they take counsel together. The kings of the earth set them. Folks, we call that politics. You understand the kings of the earth in Washington, D.C.? You understand? I saw Marjorie Taylor Greene resigned from Congress, and she's telling you what's going on in Congress. And what's going on in Congress is every one of them are controlled and programmed. Every one of them. So even in Congress, they're kings of the earth and set themselves. And they call it a caucus, don't they? Our caucus. Well, that's where the rulers take counsel together. And against the Lord and against his anointed. And they hate Thomas Massie because he won't be one of them. He won't take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed. Okay, can I switch gears here? Let me switch gears here a second. Oh my goodness. Pull up for me number 4. I'm not really switching gears. I just looked. I don't have that much time. Here's what we're up against, folks. I've shared this before. I want to share it again today. Look, the devil has a team. Everybody repeat that with me. Okay, you don't have to. The devil has a team. Team Lucifer, team Jesus. And then a bunch of people who are just fans. Right? Most of you here are on team Jesus. And because we're on Team Jesus, we ought to be smart enough to study the enemy. In high school football, we called it scouting. I knew the tendency of our opponents. I knew what they were going to run probably on 2nd and 8. Had a chart. I knew probably what they were going to do on 3rd and long. Had a chart. Why? because they're going to do what they do best. When the coach on the other side is third and long, he has a play he likes to run at third and long. It works for him. So I'm on the other side of the field. And because I've done some scouting, when it's third and long, I know what he's going to probably run. Why? Because he does it over and over and over. And unfortunately, those of us on God's team, we don't have any idea. We do not learn from the enemy. We let him run the play again. So they always do that. They always do that. And you're not going to be a very good coach if you don't study the enemy. So we'll run down through these real quick. This is Obama's, Barack Obama, that Muslim freak, who came in and destroyed America with Saul Alinsky's 12 rules for radicals. Number one, going down. Number one, power is not what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. John Brockoff told me, Coach, don't ever tell them not to fear you. Number two, never go outside the expertise of your people. The people who showed up in Minnesota have been trained and programmed to do exactly one thing. Don't ask them to do something else. Number three, whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. You're standing out on the streets and you're having a debate with somebody who's pro-abortion. Let me tell you something. They know your argument. And unfortunately, most people can't defend it. And so they understand that. That if they can drag you away from what you know into an area, they drag you into the weeds, you'll shut up. Because you know you have no answer. Did anybody notice this other than me? That Jesus asked questions. Have you not heard? Have you not understood? Number four, rules for radicals. Make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. In other words, Christians, who are you to judge? You're not supposed to be judgmental. You're supposed to love everyone, right? Huh? And so you go to the lefties, and what do? They make you live up to your rules. You know what's wrong? Those rules sometimes are situational. Meaning what? Well, the rule changes depending on the situation. I don't love my enemy if he's trying to rape my grandson. Got it? Number five, ridicule is man's most potent weapon. Ridicule over and over, name calling, calling you names, getting you in a position where you can't defend yourself, and soon you will shut up and go away. By the way, that's what the American church has done. Number six, a good tactic is one that your people enjoy. So they hire all these people to go up in Minnesota and they love it. They love going out there and doing that. How come Christians don't love going to the streets and sharing the gospel? Why don't we love that? Why don't we enjoy that? Come on, hang on. How many of you have ever had your pastor take you to the street, the street witness? And can somebody explain to me why that's not a regular part of your church? You know why?
Zero.
Because you're uncomfortable with it. You're not trained in righteousness. Number seven, good tactic, or six, one your people enjoy doing. Mark Harrington, Created Equal, they love being out there. Love being engaged. Why do they love being engaged? Because they know the enemy's argument. They know the enemy's argument. Seven, a tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. Keep moving. Number eight, keep the pressure on. Never let up. Number nine, the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. They try to scare you. And you're more worried about the threat than what actually happened. And 10, if you push a negative hard enough, it'll become a positive. The price of successful attack is a constructive alternative. Never let the enemy score points because you're caught without a solution to the problem. So when you go talk about abortion and they say a woman's right to choose, you have to be smart enough to say, what about the baby's right to choose? And then they're going to say, well, it's not a baby. And you'll say, oh, yes, it is. It's all 46 chromosomes are there at the beginning, right at the very, very beginning. And why is it that if somebody kills my, kills the baby in a car wreck, it's murder. Why is that? You have to know your argument. And rule 12, pick the target, freeze it, personalize and polarize it. Have you noticed how much they hate Trump? Have you noticed that the entire efforts of the other side is hate Trump? Have you noticed it? They don't attack his policies. They attack him. Why? Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it. Cut off the support network. Huh? Cut off the... people, not institutions. People hurt faster than institutions. This is cruel, but it's very effective. Direct personal criticism and ridicule works. So you head on the street and say, I'm going to train you here a second. And some big overweight girl comes up with her hair all green and purple. And she says, my body, my choice. You know what you could say to her? Well, honey, you don't have to worry about it. Because there ain't a man in America want to lay with you. Doesn't sound very Christian, does it? But it works both ways. Ridicule is your greatest weapon. All right. Rules for radicals. That's what they're using against us. And we still don't have it figured out. Yeah, so's your old man. So's your old man. Anybody, come on in. We got 9 minutes. I got more. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
I saw a post once and it was really good. It just said, you know, if it was your body, your choice, then you would be dead.
Yeah. Well, their arguments don't even make sense. But you know why their arguments make sense? Because we haven't been trained in righteousness. We don't know the counter argument. We don't know it. Dale Socia, Pastor Dale, has trained his people in righteousness. They can go out and they can defend what they believe. You've been taught that in your church? Funny, Dale's hands up. Go on in, Dale.
Yeah, amen, Coach. And, you know, once you do it, there's something about it, man. Let me tell you what, it is and I'm not trying to get spooky here, but it's a spiritual high. When you go out in the streets and you actually do something that encounters somebody and that you see their life transformed before your eyes, brother. I've been pastoring for 20 years. I've never seen that ever happen in my church. I'm not saying that people don't get touched, don't get saved, but I've led more people to the Lord out in the streets than on any Sunday morning. And Coach, here, this is what I like about here. And of course, I love the fellowship. I love the people in here. But if you remember, even with OSA, one of the things it was is you had people of different eschatological beliefs and different faiths, and they came together, brother, and they set those things aside. We're normally in the church, brother, man, that's taboo. You can't do that. And you have birthed that here with people different. Oh, I'm sorry, Coach. I got a fish. I got to go.
Thanks, mate. Right. So again, hang on. I'll let you get in. Listen, I want you to think about this. I've used this line before. My mom used to hate snow days when we were kids. Used to hate snow days. You know why? Because she spent all day keeping the boys from fighting. That was her full-time job, keeping the boys from fighting. So what happens in the church? Because we won't go fight the real enemy, we fight each other over doctrine. And I don't care.
Coach, the pastor has to keep people from fighting instead of doing his job.
That's right. Why? Because they don't know who the enemy is, right? If they were out rescuing babies, they wouldn't be arguing so much about eschatology. The Bible says, work while the sun shines, because the day cometh when no man can work. Instead, we would like to have arguments with each other over end times, Holy Spirit. It's a family feud. We get all of our energy out when we fight with other Christians over doctrine. Oh, the devil's good. Devil's good. Okay, Betty, go.
Oh, yes. I was going to say I was supposed to go out today, but I wasn't sure where they were going to be. So I will find out. Next week I will meet up with my group. But these guys, they have posters and they're just got words on them, you know. And then I got created equals big posters. Mm. And it's a crazy how everybody messes with me because those posters are so graphic.
Yeah, yeah.
So they've tried to run my dog over once. I get nasty comments, but those posters speak volumes, and they hate to see that. So
yes,
I've been called A to Z, but that's okay. I always tell them I know where I'm going, where are you going? So it's good, all good.
Be weary when all men speak evil of you. Hey, I'm glad some people hate me. James Thomas.
Yeah. Hey, praise the Lord, brother. I guess Jesus was kind of, he had just got done talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And so a lot of people went away. And he looked at the disciples and said, will you also go away? This is kind of my thought about this huddle. You know, where else can we go to get everything the world, you know, that the world cannot offer? I mean, we get silver and gold messages. I mean, there is a ton of information that is in this fellowship. And I just love everybody here, and I just want to thank you, brother, for...
Yeah, let's stop with the family feuds, huh? Let's quit arguing over doctrine. And let's absolutely put our efforts towards
that's kind of irrelevant. It's just if anybody, you know, Dave, Jerry, I feel if I had their number and I had an issue, or Dave or anybody, I could just pick the person and say, I got an issue, I got a problem. There would be probably 100 people in this huddle that would say, I'm on your side, brother. So that's what relationship is. And this is what this huddle does. Do I agree with everything? Absolutely not. But it just makes us who we are. It refines us. So I guess
James, a wise man once said, one of our founding fathers, a man convinced against his will is a man unconvinced still.
Right? Amen, brother.
You got to realize when it ain't worth arguing about. You ain't going to convince him. You're not going to convince him. Craig, come on, quickly.
You know, Coach, I gave you that book called Name Your Gates and Your Cities, right? And so I got to thinking, and I was like, dang, you know, I've gone to a lot of places, man. I've gone to a lot of places, mainly. And, you know, the boys of AI, what happened is the Lord drew him out, and he looked back, and there's a lot of smoke. So I said, you know, have I ever renamed the gates in my place where I come and I reside? So I did. I said, you know what? I'm going to start doing that. So I went to the northern part of where people come into Washington County, and I renamed it Unity. And I'm going to read Psalm 133. Spencer, pull it up. New King James, if you can. It says, Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is.
133.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. That's not unified. Okay. It is the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edges of the garments. It is like the dew of Mount of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord command the blessing live forever. So if you're not going to live in an area of unity, of Christian unity, where you believe, you're not going to get the blessing of the Lord.
By the way, Craig says he commands the blessing. Doesn't say that?
So if you want God to move in your area, take down the strongholds, be the intercessor, be part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Quit arguing over doctrine. We're all going to find out at some point.
Prayer request.
Yes.
My wife has got this flu really bad, or whatever is going on. She's been sick 3 or 4 days. She gets it from the grandkids. So anyway, pray for my wife. Thank you.
Lord, touch James. What's her name, James?
Donna.
Touch Donna right now, Lord. Healing is Donna's bread. She ended up begging. Put a hedge of protection around her. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. See you tomorrow.